For Father's Day, writer Denny Bouchard gave us some thoughts yesterday about his bad bandit dad.
Fatherhood is an extremely powerful thing, and I can't in any way deny how important he was as a father to me. I was obsessed with him. I wanted to go back, find my father. I wanted to rob banks with him when I found out he was a bank robber.
One of you gave us the bad dad movie suggestion of Robert Duvall in The Great Santini.
Okay, Hogs, I've listened to you bellyache about moving to this new town. This said bellyaching will end as of 15:30 hours. Will not affect the morale of the squadron henceforth. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir!
I know it's rough to leave your friends and move every year. But you are Marine kids and can chew nails while other kids are sucking cotton candy. And you're Meacham's. Meacham never gives up.
And then one of you reminded us of the mother of all bad fathers, Vito Corleone from The Godfather.
I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that... But when it was your time that... That you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. This wasn't enough time, Michael. It wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there.
I think we're at a point now where we have to start to rebuild what our concepts of masculinity are. And also, I think probably more importantly, we have to rethink what our concepts of family are. And the way to start is with fatherhood, for sure.
Writer Steve Marsh's dad was not a mobster or a bank robber or a cruel violin teacher, taskmaster for that matter. Marsh lost his devoted father the same year he became the dad to a daughter. He says as a dad of a boy and a girl, he's still making it all up as he goes along.
Well, I think fatherhood has changed totally dramatically since the 1960s. I mean, the research that I was looking into it was just really crazy. You know, since the 1960s, fathers spent three times as much time with their children that they had before. The largest study of singles ever done last year said that men wanted to have children more than young women, which I found totally crazy, but it came from the largest study of singles ever done. You know, fatherhood is taking on this new kind of outsized importance in the life of men, and I think, you know, it's only really just now being started to be recognized how deep that change is.
And how, you know, how much you make and what your job is so unprepares you for that definition and, you know, search for identity as a father.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything prepares you for it. I think as time has gone on, you know, the rituals that have been around masculinity, like what makes you a man, have slowly fallen apart. And for the most part, good riddance to bad garbage. But then, you know, what has come in their place has been being a dad and or having a dad, too. And, you know, when you ask men, like, when did you become a man, losing a father or becoming a father is right or 1-2 on that list. I think nothing does prepare you for it because it is sort of life, you know, it is the indisputable fact of existence.
Well, let's compare those two experiences. I've had one of them. I suspect you've had both of them, but the experience of becoming a father, you know, watching your child come into the world is kind of factual, and there's nothing about the experience of birth necessarily that gives you a whole lot of insight other than to say, whoa, that was awesome. I guess things have changed now.
No.
The losing of a father, though, that's a rite of passage with a lot of intensity and depth to it.
Yeah, Freud called it the most poignant of all losses, the death of a father for his son. And I kind of agree, although I'm still working through it. My father only died a year ago, so I'm still kind of dealing with it. You know, I think both of those experiences, though, I had them actually at the same time. My second daughter was born about 20 days before my father died. And it's not so much that you learn something. It's that your position in the universe changes, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not that you gain some kind of insight. It's just that all of your relationships and how you think of yourself and how others think of you and how you think of the world is just altered, like just cracked. And then you try and figure out what that means. And that process takes, I think, a long, long life. You know, I think that process takes your life.
There's a couple of things in thinking about what you wrote for Esquire, which is terrific, by the way, and just this the idea of these statistics you just rattled off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to me that, okay, the time that men are spending with children has tripled since 1965, and they want kids more than women. Suspects, although the statistics probably don't necessarily go together, that, you know, men have had quality time with the kids since 1965, so therefore they're pretty positive about how things have changed. Would you agree? Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and it, when you compare it to, like, the statistics on, like, housework, like, men haven't done any more housework since about 1980. Like,
right.
It's really just stopped there. But fatherhood, though, men took to immediately. It's become very clear, and it's becoming more and more clear, that spending time with your children is actually part of the good life. You know, it's not a burden, and it's a pleasure. And that I think, is the real change that has happened.
I'm wondering, on this Father's Day, do you miss your dad?
Oh, yeah, immensely. I mean, but, you know, on the other hand, he was just such a great father, and I'm just so glad I had so much time with him. And also, you know, he wasn't one of those absent dads. I mean, he loved being a father, and I knew what being a father was without having to think about it too much because of who my dad was. And, you know, that's just an amazing gift. That's just an amazing gift that I was given in my life. And, you know, the best advice, you know, the advice my father did give me was don't listen to any advice. And, you know, another piece of advice he gave me was you can't love your children too much. That last one to me is actually the key. You know, like you go to, you know, you're when you're a father, you're obsessed with all these minor questions, breastfeeding, you know, what is the appropriate age to start taking them to Taekwondo, like all of these little negligible things. And then you go to the schoolyard and what you see are really like kids who've been loved enough and kids who haven't been loved enough. And those are really the two sort of broad categories. And I think on those two major points, I think I'm doing pretty well.
What are you going to do with that new necktie?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting. I got a flower last year that I planted in the garden and did pretty well. I like that one. How about you? What do you get from like five kids? I mean, that must be a haul.
Oh, you know what I get? Every Father's Day morning, I'm sleeping in. I get this like chorus of five jumping on the bed.
Right.
And they, you know, all these sort of things they drop, you know, here, look at this. I made this picture, you know, here's the song.
Wow.
So,
that
yeah.
That's like a love bomb.
Yeah, it is. It's
my gosh. It's five just, kids on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kaboom.
Kaboom.
Stephen, thanks so much.
Total pleasure.
Stephen Marsh, thanks. Novelist and contributing editor for Esquire. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.